Thanks for tuning in to another episode of CMDA's Dental Soundbites. This is your host, Dr. Bill Griffin, and I have the privilege of representing your dental contingent at CMDA headquarters in Bristol, Tennessee, where we are enjoying a gorgeous day. Today's guest, Dr. Elisa Gezzi, has practiced geriatric dentistry for 25 years in southeastern Michigan. She's written and lectured extensively on the topic of oral health care for older adults and persons with dementia. Dr. Gezzi has also been heavily involved with various aspects of CMDA. She served on the CMDA Board of Trustees from 1997 to 1998, and she currently serves as Midwest Region Staff at Large and also on the Commission of Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ, known as WPDC. She has a great love and respect for CMDA that she wants to share with us today. Let's check in now with Dr. Gezzi. Dr. Gezzi, welcome to CMDA's Dental Soundbites.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today with you.
Now, like many of our listeners, you joined CMDA as a dental student. Share with us how you first became involved with CMDA and a bit about that journey early in your career.
As many of us learned about CMDA as students in our professional training, I was invited my first year of dental school to be a part of the medical school chapter at the University of Michigan. A friend of mine, he was a first-year student in med school, and although there had been a chapter of CMDA at the dental school, it had kind of lapsed. Mm-hmm. So when I got there, there wasn't anything to be involved in. So I spent my first year hanging out with the medical students, and then the second year actually developed then the new chapter at the dental school that's been going on since then. So it's been going on for about 30 years now.
Wow. So you actually had a foundational role in getting that going.
I did. And then I ended up spending about a decade with that chapter. My husband, Steve, he started dental school a year after I finished dental school. So although we're the same age, his story is a little different than mine. I was the youngest in my class. Mm-hmm. And then I got to go through dental school twice, second as the spouse of a dental student, which also meant that I was involved in that CMDA chapter for close to a decade, both as leading it for the first few years and then more as a kind of advisory role.
And as you think back on your involvement with CMDA, what are your fondest memories as well as perhaps some of the challenges that you experienced?
Yeah, you know, after that initial experience being local, then I was able to have some opportunities to work nationally with CMDA. I was asked to be a student rep, and then during my fellowship, I served as the resident trustee for the Board of Trustees for CMDA. And then even after that, became involved in the Women in Medicine and Dentistry Commission from about 2001 to 2005. In terms of kind of fondest memories, being a trustee for CMDA is probably one of the biggest honors that you can have.
Yes.
It's an amazing, amazing group. And to have done it so early in my career was actually foundational. I've served on boards kind of throughout my career, and the training that one receives from that board and just seeing a well-functioning board. So often boards can get poor publicity just due to not functioning well and all that sort of thing. But God brings just really amazing talent and saints into leadership in CMDA, and to have had the chance to just serve alongside with them and learn from them and to have them be my mentors was just a huge, huge gift.
I would think also that helped you to realize that CMDA is far more than just dental, and then that's actually a blessing. I've talked to a few members who would say something like, well, you know, CMDA is such a small percentage dental. We're about 10% dental. But I see that as a tremendous advantage that we get to sow into healthcare in general across the nation, and we get to play a bigger role than just dentistry.
Absolutely. I think there's a couple of themes in what you just said. One is just really, what are the roles of dentists within CMDA? Hmm. What I experienced through both of those roles was how non-siloed CMDA is, that it has so many different ministries that different people belong in, and they all work very collaboratively together. And then the other aspect is, again, being a dentist among a bunch of physicians. My background being in geriatric dentistry, my professional experience has been a lot of multidisciplinary, interdisciplinary situations. So I'm used to that environment, but I think CMDA just does a wonderful job of cultivating that. Although in many of my roles, I am representing dentists or women dentists. It's actually funny. Sometimes I'll be on a call on a meeting, and I'll have the physician colleagues actually being the one advocating for dentists. And so it's not like it's this role that I have that if I'm not advocating, nobody's remembering us. Mm-hmm. CMDA actually is very inclusive in that regard. And I would say working now with women physician dentists in Christ, very invested in really wanting to grow that.
Yes. Now, in those early years, Elisa, did you have someone that you might consider a Christian female dentist mentor to help you along?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one I'm happy to answer, but also want to make sure I don't start crying, because whenever I address this topic, I become very emotional. The desire of my heart has always been to have a female Christian dentist mentor. Hmm. And God hasn't given me one throughout my career, and that was very difficult, although I've had some of the most amazing mentors professionally, Christian, non-Christian, geriatric dentistry, et cetera. It's been really challenging to not have had someone to come alongside me who kind of understood those three aspects of my life, Christianity, being a woman in the dental profession. And so when initially I was asked to be part of the WIMD commission, the purpose was that I would find women dentists to give presentations for our conferences and to be mentors. And I kind of felt like I really failed at that job. And I wasn't smart enough to kind of get some data. I also have a PhD in epidemiology, and data is always really helpful. Mm-hmm. And what I found out was, when I looked at this in the last few years, is of the 10,000 doctor members of CMDA, 6,000 are male physicians, 3,000 female physicians, and of that remaining 1,000, just a little over 200 are women dentists. And that's, you know, 2020 numbers. Mm-hmm. So back 20 years ago, what I was asked to do, I didn't realize, was to find a needle in a haystack. And again, when I didn't have Christian female dental mentors and was kind of wondering why, it was because although there were a lot of women involved in our local campus ministries, that continuity of continuing with CMDA actively involved waned, and they just weren't there to find.
I know that last May, when we were looking for mentors for graduating dental students, we had quite a few male mentors volunteer, more than we needed, but we were really hustling to try to find enough females to serve as mentors for those female graduating students that wanted one. So, and yet I recognize, Elisa, that you've had a very positive effect in that regard. You have brought a number of women dentists into CMDA, and you're cultivating their ability to minister to one another. And I'm going to try generalizing here, maybe going out on a limb a little bit, but it seems like to some extent female dentists might more recognize their need for camaraderie and support from one another than males sometimes do. Is that a fair statement?
I think it is. Over the last couple of years being involved in WPDC, the Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ group, in my role as kind of facilitating the development of their ministry to women dentists, I have a couple of monthly Zoom groups that I have. One's kind of a young mom's group, and another one is a group of recent graduates. And I spend a lot of time listening to what they have to say and what they're experiencing, what their challenges are. And last week, when I had a meeting with one of them, I asked, you know, why do you guys show up? Why do you keep coming? And it really is that. It's the community is the word that was used by the recent grad. The need for community. And again, it exists within our campus ministries, but then everyone goes everywhere. You know, even one of the groups that I have, the Young Moms, it's actually based from a group of leaders from the University of Detroit Mercy that John Bayon had connected me with, about 16 different women. And the reality is that this side of heaven, I don't think we're ever going to see each other in person together, because everyone's all over not only Michigan, but some are in Canada and other places. So although our campus ministries are just absolutely wonderful, that community that we foster there isn't always getting continued, or people aren't finding a place for that when they graduate. And that's severely needed, is what I'm finding.
Yes, that's a huge topic we're seeking to address, as you mentioned, especially as people graduate and either go into private practice or going into residencies on the medical and dental side. Now, you took a hiatus from working directly with CMDA for a time while your family was young. Tell us a bit about your family.
Yeah, so my husband Steve and I, again, were married when we were in dental school, when he was in dental school, and then our first daughter was born, gosh, I think she was a month old when he crossed the stage with her graduating from dental school. And then, you know, we moved right after that for him to do his two-year GPR, general practice residency, at the University of North Carolina. So, yeah, we now have six kids. So she is now a first-year medical student. And then I have a couple of boys in undergrad at the University of Michigan. I've got a daughter in high school and a couple guys still in grade school. So I'm finishing my last year of doing third grade. I'm very excited about that.
You're finally graduating, huh?
My multiplication facts. Yes, I won't be doing that again for a while. But yeah, so we have six kids. And Steve went into general dentistry, although his love was pediatric dentistry. Mm-hmm. He didn't get in on the first round. And then, as I found, dreams don't die. So at some point, you just got to do what you've always been dreaming of. So he went back when we had four kids to do pediatric dental training. So he's had his practice for the last 10 years. But I was a bit more academic, had a National Institute of Health training grant. And then, again, did a PhD in epidemiology, and then finished that up in 2005 when we had three kids, mm-hmm. and really decided to kind of take a step back and do a couple of different things. One was start my own practice in geriatric mobile dentistry, but also just gave me a chance to kind of be a little bit more mom. And, you know, I remember Alan Harmer once telling me, he's like, yep, you're going to hang out with me in CMDA for a while, and then you're going to take a break because everybody gets busy with their young families, and that's just what happens. But yeah, you'll come back again someday. And so I did. But I did take that hiatus, and I think that's important for everyone to realize there's seasons in life. And there's times when we have more time to be a part of organizations, and other times when, no, sometimes families truly do take a lot, and that needs to be our priority. And I think that's something I talk a lot with the women that I work with on, is just sort of, what is God calling you to do? Mm-hmm. And it's really something that, a question that needs to be asked regularly as our lives change and our priorities change. How is God using you in dentistry, and what is he calling you to do right now? Is it focus on your practice? Is it focus on your family? Is it focus on your husband? There's a lot of things, and the important piece is really to constantly be asking God what he wants you to be doing.
Seasons of life, that's so critical. I think it was in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it talks about different times for different activities and things. That's a great point to remember. Now, a few years back, I remember doing a tour of Midwest dental schools. And when I got to Ann Arbor, you and Steve graciously hosted a dinner in your house. I think you served chili that night to allow me to meet some of your dental students. It was a joy-filled opportunity to meet the University of Michigan's contribution to our profession's next generation. And I remember even leaving that evening with a Michigan T-shirt, which I still wear proudly. Tell us about your and Steve's involvement in student ministry at the University of Michigan.
Yeah, you know, we're not actually directly involved, because we're blessed to have Janet Tang, who is our CMDA staff member, who kind of coordinates efforts with students. So, yes, we hosted that dinner, and what I appreciated so much about it is my coordination part was, hey, Janet, I'm available this day. I'm going to serve chili. That's what I'm going to do. Can you just get everybody here? And that was all I did. And so, again, I know there's a lot of places around the country where we do have CMDA staff who really are able to help us out in that way. I don't know that a lot of people realize and are connected, but we really encourage anybody to kind of get to know who are the CMDA staff members who are helping out with the local ministries and who really know the students. And, you know, students are fun to work with, and they also can be challenging because they'll, oh, I'm coming. No, I'm not. Like, I didn't have to deal with any of that. I know Janet was. And that would actually inhibit my ability to even host something. I can't keep track of who's coming, who's not, whatever. And I think those are things that are important for people to realize, because I think there are reasons that sometimes we don't get involved because it's just a little bit more than we can handle, mm-hmm. and really utilizing people to help us with that.
Well, I will just add to that that I have done a lot of lunch and learn opportunities at various dental schools, but only a handful of events that were actually in someone's home. And I'm thinking of them right now. And for example, the event that we had at your home there, we were able to reach a depth of conversation with the students in your home that I rarely get into at university lunch and learns. And so just providing a place served a bigger purpose than perhaps you recognized when you volunteered it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think also, you know, that was the one time we did it. We've been trying to coordinate again. Hopefully we'll do it again in the next year. You know, that was pre-COVID, and COVID definitely put a pause on that type of relating.
Right.
You know, I remember a couple of years ago having lunch in a park on separate blankets. You know, it must have been, you know, fall of 2020, and, you know, bringing the Panera lunch. And so, again, realizing that one's involvement just can look different every year. This past year in April, I was asked to come and speak to them. I think it's probably the first time I've ever done that, or at least in the last few decades. So again, it's our involvement just constantly morphs and changes based on what we're asked to do or what we have time to do or whatever. But just throw that out for people to realize there's a lot of different things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do a lot. It might be one thing a year. But that actually is huge to those students.
Yes.
And they remember it and they bring it up. So whenever I talk to people just around the country and say, hey, what are you doing with CMDA? What's your group doing? There's this common response I get that I laugh at, but honestly, I find it more concerning. What they often start with is, well, we just. And it's a statement of comparison. Compared to everything else everybody else is doing, we're only doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to laugh at them, and I say, you don't realize that actually what you're doing is pretty similar to what everybody else is doing. You're not doing less. You're just doing what God's asked you to do. And I think that message just needs to get out there. And we also need to change our perspective. You're not doing just. You're doing what God has called you to do today in reaching out. And again, it might be once every few years. It might be one thing. It might be for a season. But really looking at that differently and also not comparing to whatever you hear. Because, again, we know we can always find people that can do something better than us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the goal here. It's, mm-hmm. again, back to that, what is God calling you to do today? But God is also not calling to overwhelm you. And so finding how you can connect without getting overwhelmed that works within not only your time frame, but also who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That for me has been a challenge. When I decided to come back to do stuff with CMDA, part of it was because Alan Harmer was still around. He'd been the Midwest Regional Director when I was a student, and he was still in that role. And I knew I only had a few more years before he was going to retire, and wanted to take a few years to have him mentor me. He's a man of just full of wisdom, of just how to relate with people, and wanted to have a few years of that mentoring. And I remember also considering, you know, will I work with students? Will I work with graduates? And again, my kids are kind of the age of the current students out there.
Mm-hmm.
And felt like, you know what, I don't want to do student work. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just going to come across as mom. And I don't want that role. But then there's God's plans. And, you know, as he says in Isaiah 55, you know, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. But one of the things that's fascinating about that is that it switches how it's stated. First it says, God's thoughts are not ours, but then our ways are not God's. And if I had to define what I would do in CMDA, it wouldn't be what I've done over the past 3 years. And that's okay. It's, you know what, instead of doing what Elisa thinks needs to be done, what does God want to have done? And what God's handed me actually has been a lot of students to work with. Hmm. Although I thought I wasn't going to enjoy and find that relationship to be a little tenuous, it has been the biggest gift. I just absolutely love these young people. And then another piece to that is the role that I've found that I'm playing is one of translator. I think I've been a translator a lot within CMDA early on and continuing as a dentist among physicians, you know, helping physicians understand, well, this is how dentists actually think and work. But now my role is, as I call it, a generational translator, because a lot of older doctors don't understand our younger colleagues. But being a mom to that age, I've realized that there's things that actually I do know how they're thinking, because they tell me all the time what I don't understand and how I should understand them better. And having listened to that, I do understand them. When certain things are said, it's, you know what, I know they said this, but actually when they say that, they mean this other thing. And we in an older generation might misinterpret it. And again, I'm not into facilitating snowflakes, but at the same time, I think there is sometimes when we just don't understand each other, and it's missed in translation. So that's been one of those bizarre roles. Yeah.
Speaking of the last few years, I know you've been heavily involved with Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ, a ministry of CMDA that's recently experienced tremendous growth. Tell us a bit about WPDC, how you ended up back in that role, and what you see God doing.
There was an email that Patty Francis, who is a pediatrician in California, she is, I call her the mother of WPDC, because she really started this ministry 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's been around for 30 years, and has tremendous number of physicians in it and just women who just so appreciate those relationships. But Patty was concerned because there weren't dentists involved. And so kind of what had happened was the Women in Medicine and Dentistry name didn't have a Christian connotation. So at some point during my hiatus, they decided to change the name and changed it to Women Physicians in Christ. And they felt that, you know what, that includes dentists and physicians, because dentists are physicians of the oral cavity. Mm-hmm. And again, in this translation role, when Patty asked that question, I was like, well, actually, we all consider ourselves to be doctors, but we do designate you all as physicians and ourselves as dentists. Mm-hmm. So although I appreciate that description, I'd have to say it's being lost in translation, that when dentists see something called Women Physicians in Christ, they interpret that as, oh, dentists are no longer involved. Mm-hmm. So it's not working. So again, WPDC kind of went to the drawing board and said, you know what, we need our dental colleagues. So they said, you know, we're going to change the name. And so they did.
I think the world of Patty Francis. I actually ran into her at the most recent national convention, and she led episode 3 of Faith Prescriptions, and she did a tremendous job with it.
Right. So Patty asked me if I would help them because they wanted to bring more dentists into the ministry. Mm-hmm. And I had kind of, you know, been on hiatus and hadn't quite come back to doing things and had the previous experience of being rather unsuccessful and being like, well, I don't know that I'm the person you want to help you out with this, because I feel like I kind of failed last time. I didn't realize that I was trying to do the impossible, and that's why I failed. But I said to her, you know, again, when you do something that doesn't work, the last thing you do is do it the same way twice. So I said, well, I'd be willing to come back and be a part of the commission, which is the leadership group of WPDC. I said, I would be happy to facilitate the development of WPDC's Ministry to Women Dentists. And I think that terminology is important, where I always state, I'm not developing it. God's the one who's going to develop in his time and in his right. way. But I would like to come in and help figure out what he wants us to do and work to facilitate that. And so that is my role. And I said, if I come back, I want a group of dental women. And for lack of a better name, we just called it the Dental Task Force. It still has that name. Task Force usually are something that are kind of short-lived, and you've done your work and you move on. We have to come up with a better name, because I think it's going to be this entity within WPDC that really lasts, mm-hmm. that really is a group of graduate dentists and dental students, young grads, who all work together to do the work that I tried to do, of bringing speakers in and also recruiting mentors and developing the ministry. So that has been a very active group that I've had. And again, as I mentioned, when we started, God ended up just giving me a lot of dental students to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And again, I kept saying to him, that's not what I'm here to do. Because about the same time, you know, you were starting to develop your dental coordinators, who were the people that were supposed to be working with the students. And part of why that connection was made was because I was working very closely with Katie Musser, who was the Midwest dental yes. coordinator. And uh-huh. so she's an amazing networker. She kept feeding me students to the point that in 2021, we had our first live, again, post-COVID annual conference for WPDC, and it was held in Grand Rapids, which was in our region. And we had, I think, about 25 students, half of which were dental students. Hmm. So for an organization that didn't have any dental involvement, to go to that was huge. And so, again, God brought just a lot of young people. And so I think, in terms of that ministry, what has been the most challenging is just, I really, as you mentioned before, I don't have the women mentors that I need. I have more students and young grads wanting mentors than we yet have connections with graduate doctors. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the biggest need that we have right now, because older doctors, I don't think, really even know what's going on. And so that's been one of my challenges in trying to facilitate this development, is how do I connect to graduate doctors mm-hmm. who kind of have been on hiatus too? Right. They're waiting for a reason to come back. And I think the answer is, you know what, there is one, that really WPDC as well as CMDA both are really invested in wanting to develop their ministries to Christian women dentists. And the other piece is that we just, in that role, have multiple places we can connect within CMDA, because we are not only women who belong in WPDC, but we also are women who belong in CDA. And there's so many areas that you've brought young women leaders into as well.
Now, Lisa, I know you have a major conference coming up soon in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Can you fill our listening audience in on some of the details?
Every year we have a conference. It's typically in September this year, and going to be on the island of Hilton Head, September 7th through 10th. There is actually going to be Dental CE available. Typically those are on the Thursday and the Friday. Saturday is the day that we kind of is designated as a time where we want to have, if there's any students out there listening, that we want students to come. And so if you know any other students that you're working with or that you're connected with, let them know about this conference. And we encourage people to come in Friday night. We typically have a game night, and then we have presentations during Saturday. Saturday afternoon, we're going to have a panel discussion where we have more seasoned docs answer questions from students. We have a banquet on Saturday night, and then everything wraps up Sunday morning. And so it is a pricey conference for students to attend, except that we do have scholarships available. And we just opened up our scholarship application, And so encourage anybody interested in coming to sign up for that. Also, we try to help students, not just with the registration, but also with other things like housing. I've actually rented a Airbnb house on the island from Thursday to Sunday. So we'll have a place for students to stay, as well as staying at the resort. So, and just courage, I know when we were in Grand Rapids, I was kind of surprised where students from a 9-hour radius came from Milwaukee and from Case Western, even Louisville, Kentucky came up to Grand Rapids. Yeah. And so really would encourage, there's quite a few Dummel schools within that area. So if you know any students, to encourage them to come or even to help. I think when we talked about the investment of WPDC, you know, for those students to attend in Grand Rapids, there weren't any women dentists that were contributing to the scholarship fund, and even still aren't, because we don't have that. So for students to attend, it really is the women physicians that are funding this growth in the ministry, as well as the scholarships for the students. So I am so indebted to them for being willing to do that. But at the same time, if there are local groups that could sponsor students to come, mm-hmm. The students are doing a poster session as well, because sometimes with their schools, if they're presenting a research project, then they can get some travel funding. And so we are doing a poster session to allow them to tap into that resource as well.
Well, it sounds like a tremendous opportunity, and I hope you have a great crowd there. And we will do our best to get the word out through our various student groups in that, especially those in that area. Lisa, I am so grateful for your determined efforts over the years to invest in the development of CMBA members. And I hope that others listening to your story today will choose to come alongside you and to help grow the breadth and depth of our number in years to come.
Thank you for having me.
It was great to learn more from Elisa about WPDC and also to hear about her other initiatives to minister to others through CMDA over the years. One of the greatest privileges I've enjoyed in my 5 years with CMDA is the opportunity to meet so many healthcare professionals across the nation who are being transformed by the gospel and who desire to have a transforming effect on others. Some serve their Lord through mentoring, some through teaching, others are involved with mission trips, some work in Christian clinics, some provide financial support for CMDA. And the Lord uses the various talents and resources of our members to accomplish so much for His kingdom. CMDA ministry is truly greater than the sum of its parts, and I thank each of you for entering into the Lord's work in whatever capacity the Lord has called you to. And now here's Jamie Majeski to share some great upcoming opportunities with you.
You are invited to join us for a CMDA Biblical Tour in 2023. These tours are unlike any other because each tour includes incredible Bible teaching and cultural experiences. Just like the tour Dr. Bill Griffin and his wife Linda will be leading in November 2023 to Israel to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Other tours this year are headed to Greece, Turkey, and more biblical sites. Plus, you will meet other Christian healthcare professionals and create friendships that will last a lifetime. Visit cmda.org/tours to learn more and to register. And don't wait. Each tour is limited to around 50 participants each, and they fill up quickly. So make your reservations today. Are you interested in short-term mission trips? Well, now is the time to start thinking about signing up for a global health outreach trip. GHO sends teams around the world to El Salvador, East Africa, India, the Pacific, Central Asia, the Middle East, and many other places. Through these trips, we disciple participants, grow national churches, share the gospel, and provide care to the poor and needy. Our teams minister in outpatient primary care medicine and dentistry, and in small and large hospitals to provide surgical services. And don't forget, for dentists new to GHO, there are $1,500 scholarships available thanks to the Dale Willis GHO Memorial Scholarship Fund. If you're interested in using the skills and resources the Lord has entrusted to you, visit cmda.org/gho to learn more and find a trip that works in your schedule. Those of us who serve in the healthcare professions have the best opportunities to point individuals toward Christ. One of our big priorities here at CMDA is to help train healthcare professionals to integrate their faith into their practice of healthcare. That's why we produce Faith Prescriptions. This on-demand video series will teach you to share your faith in ethical and appropriate ways with colleagues and patients. And it will also teach you to pray with patients and much, much more. To get started with the series, which is free to CMDA members, visit the CMDA Learning Center at cmda.org/learning.
As we close this month's Dental Soundbites podcast, look forward to some amazing guests in the next few months from both inside and outside the U.S. I leave you with an admonition from Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Until next time, God bless.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.